Come, let's take a look at a super geschmacka piece of Gemara. A super geschmacka piece of Gemara. This Gemara itself is it could be challenging just to read, and then as we're going to see, Rishonim and Acharonim have a host of questions on this Gemara. There are logical questions, there are halachic questions. This is a fascinating, fascinating, juicy piece of Gemara. So let's take a look together. Here, Gimel Amud Beis. Hahu Arma'a. There was an Arami. That's a word that's familiar to us from the Haggadah. Arami Ovidavi. Hahu Arma'a, there was an Arami. Arami here means a non-Jew. And it probably also literally means a person from Aram. As we're going to see, that seems to be where the action is located. There was this non-Jew, Dahavasolik, the Achil Psachim B'Yerushalayim. He was Solik. Solik is Aramaic for Ole, to go up. There are six basic verbs of motion. There's going and coming, going up and going down, going in and going out. So the word to go up in Hebrew is la'alos, and Aramaic is Solik, like a maskana. Is related to the same word. It's what is Ola mitocha sugya. But here we mean literally, or almost literally, he was Ola. He would make Aliyah. He would go up to Yerushalayim. He would go up to Yerushalayim and he'd Karm Pesach. There was this non-Jew who was going up, it sounds like, every year. That was his thing. Different people have different different interests, different routines. His thing was, he wasn't Jewish, but he would join the Jews for Karm Pesach in Yerushalayim. And apparently he was bragging about it. Omar, he says, it's not yet clear to whom he's speaking, but he said to someone, "Ksiv, it says in the Torah, kol ben echa lo yochal bo, kol are lo yochal bo, a non-Jew is not allowed to eat Karm Pesach. Someone who doesn't have a mila, an arel, is not allowed to eat Karm Pesach." And he said, "Look at me. You Jews think you have rules, you can maintain your standards. Oh, look at me. I'm a Nachri, I'm an Arel, and I get to eat Karm Pesach. Not only do I get to eat Karm Pesach, I get to eat from the Shufri. Shufri is very good. Shufri is good. Yafe in Aramaic. So Shufri is the finest, the nicest of the nice, the finest, choicest cuts of meat." He says, "Oh, it says in the Chumash that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat Karm Pesach. I get to eat Karm Pesach. They even give me the best cuts of meat." Who's he saying this to? Why is he saying this? The Gemara begins to peel away some of the layers. Well, the first thing we find out is who he was speaking to, because whoever he was speaking to responded. Amar Le Yehuda ben Beseira, the Tana, the holy Tana, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, replies to this Arami, replies to this Nachri, Miko Safulach Mi Alya. Well, did they feed you? Did they serve you the tail? This non-Jew had been apparently bragging to the Tan Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, "I go to Yerushalayim, and you Jews think you can keep me out. You Jews think you have standards. Nothing doing. I'm totally accepted. They even give me the finest cuts of meat." Now, there are a lot of things you might have expected Yehuda ben Beseira to do. Maybe he would have said, "Usser," or said, "Please don't go." Instead, he like engages him in the details. He says, "Oh yeah, they give the finest choice of meat." What'd you say? Did he know who Yehuda ben Beseira was? As we're going to, the story's going to unfold, it seems like he did. It sounds like he was bragging. That's what it sounds like this non-Jew is doing. It sounds like Yehuda ben Beseira is not in Yerushalayim. And this non-Jew, he didn't live in Yerushalayim all year long. The non-Jew went to Yerushalayim for Pesach. He was a tourist. He went to Yerushalayim for Pesach. So when he came back, it sounds like, to home base. And apparently he lived near Yehuda ben Beseira. Or at some point during the year, he was in the same place as Yehuda ben Beseira. And begins to brag to ben Beseira, "Hey, Rabbi, you Jews think you have such standards. Look at me, I get to flaunt." He's flaunting the fact that he flouts the standards. He can ignore the standards. "I get away with whatever I want to. I go eat Karm Pesach. They let me eat Karm Pesach. They give me the best meat. I'm totally miskabel. Ha, ha, ha." That's what it sounds like, is that the non-Jew is bragging and jeering at Yehuda ben Beseira. And as we're going to see, you would have expected sort of like a frontal response, hey, you can't do that, or please don't do that. But Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Zeira doesn't. He engages him, and as we're going to see, it's a very wise response. It's almost like verbal Aikido. And you'll see what I mean in a moment about verbal Aikido. What does Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Zeira say? He says, oh, you told me they serve you the best. They really serve you the best? Do they serve you the tail? That's a particularly juicy cut of a sheep. So he says, apparently he said no. He said no. Actually, they never serve him the tail. He says, well, Kisalik, excuse me, Amarle Lo, he says, no, they didn't serve him the tail. So here there's a missing Amarle, but the implication is Yehuda Ben Seir says to him, Kisalkis, Salkis is you. Kisha ta'ale, when you go up, lahasam, to there, to shalayim, aim alohu sfuli me'alya. Well, you tell them next time, next year, Pesach, you insist they have to give the tail. In other words, Yehuda Ben Seir basically is playing on this non-Jews braggadocio and ego. Oh, you think they're not onto you? Oh, they are. You thought that they're giving you the best choice of cuts of meat. That's what they told you. You believed them, he says to the non-Jew. Ha! They're pulling your leg. They're not giving you a tail. They're keeping it for themselves. So the Nachri says, oh, that's a good point. They never gave me a tail. He says, oh, well, let's try a test. Yehuda Ben Seir says to the non-Jew, next year you go and you insist you want tail. And then we'll see. Either they'll give it to you or they'll say, no, you're not Jewish. We can't give it to you. So basically, yes, DJ, thank you for the pun. Basically, the Yehuda Ben Seira has now hooked this Nachri. And the Nachri, he basically dared the Nachri to try this, and the Nachri is taking him up on the dare. And that's what I meant by verbal Aikido. Aikido is a Eastern martial art in which you use your attacker's force against him. Instead of trying to block or hit back, you sort of redirect the guy's own force in a way that hurts him instead of hurting you. It's exactly what Yehuda Ben Seira did. Instead of pushing back, no, you can't, he said, he goes with the flow. He's like, oh, yeah, they're totally into it. Are you sure? Like, the Nachri's come with his ego, so now he sort of works with the Nachri's ego. Oh, I'll try this. Well, how about this? Let's see if they'll give you the best cut of meat. And he doesn't realize that the Yehuda Ben Seira just set a trap for him. Because the Nachri shows up to Yerushalayim again the next year, Erev Pesach, finds his, apparently at a chabura that he would get together with every year. And Kisalik, when the Nachri indeed goes to Yerushalayim the next year, Amar Lahu, he says to his chabura, the Jews he would always eat Karm Pesach with, May Aliyah Sefuli, serve me Aliyah. I want, you tell me that I pay top dollar, I get the top cut of meat. Where's the tail? You guys have been holding out on me. This year I want tail. So Amrule, they say to him, they look at him like strangely. Aliyah me. It's like as though he asked for. It's as though he asked them to give him some cheese sauce to dip the Karm Pesach in. This is what he's talking about. Aliyah legavoa salka. You're supposed to be makriv of the tail when you bring a Karm Pesach. You can bring either a goat or a sheep. So if the Karm Pesach is a sheep, the Torah says that the tail is karev on the mizbeach. Most karbanos, except for karban ola, are divided into two parts. The basar, the meat that's the parts of the animal that are eaten by people, and the emurim, which is a fancy word that means the parts of the animal, organs, and sometimes meat, that are burnt on the mizbeach, that are not eaten by people. So they say, aliyah megavoa salka. If you have a karban pesach, which is a sheep, the aliyah, the tail, is part of the emurim. The other part of the other goes, lagavoa, to on high, means burnt the mizbech. It's not going to be eaten by people. Everyone knows we can't serve you tail. And then they speak again. So apparently they're starting to get suspicious. They say, man amarlach, they say to him, man amarlach, he must have been insisting, no, I want tail. I was told I can get the tail. You guys are holding out on me. You told me I'm getting the top cut of meat. You're not giving it to me. I insist. Don't give me your stories. And they say, now, they knew that any Jew who learns Chumash knows this din. Ma'aseh Sedra, Parshas Bo. And as Rashi points out, not just Parsha's Bo, Rashi points out this week's Parsha. So if you haven't been Marvin said this week yet, that's why it's not yet familiar. Take a look. Safuli me alya. Hal ituni min ha'alya. Feed me tail. The kevasaya, it was a sheep, and therefore alyasa kreva l'gavoa. When you mark a sheep, the tail goes on the mizbech. The chsiv bekeves ha'alya tamima. The pasuk in Chumash. Again, these dinim are came for us because we live in a time when kachshim is not practically relevant. But for them, the tail of the sheep was like basa b'chalav. Every religious Jew knew that's not, you can't eat that. The tail of the sheep, if a sheep's a carbon, goes on his back. So they look at him and say, who told you this? Where'd you get this idea from? So he says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, the Gadol HaDar told me to ask for the tail. So now they say, well, Amru, that's not Amru Lay, they're not saying to him anymore, now they're saying to each other, my hide the common. What's going on? Mazel lefaninu. Something's going on here. This guy shows up. He says the Gadol HaDar told him to ask for something treif. Something's, and they chopped that Yehuda ben Seira was sending them a coded message. Badku basre, they looked into his background. Vashkehu dar mohu, and they discovered that he's an imposter. He had been presenting himself as a Jew to them all these years in order to participate in Karban Pesach. But they now that they actually looked into his background, they discovered, in fact, he is not Jewish. Kataluhu. And they executed him. Wow. Seems pretty harsh. And then, Shalchal Yehuda ben Seira, the end of the story is, the epilogue, they send a note to Yehuda ben Seira. They didn't text him. It was probably written on parchment. But they did send him a note. Shalom alach Yehuda ben Seira. Shalom Alecha, Yehuda ben Seira, Da'at ben Netziven, you are in the town of Netziven, Umetzudascha Prusa b'Yerushalayim. But your net is spread all the way to Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, I mentioned yesterday, there's a Talmud Chacham who presented this Gemara as a story for children in a collection of English short stories, and he entitled it The Long Net, because of this closing line. That was the letter they sent, the note they sent to Yehuda ben Seira from Yerushalayim. You're all the way out there in Netziven, far from Yerushalayim, but you're, and Yehuda ben Seira wasn't coming to Yerushalayim, but his net was stretched all the way to Yerushalayim. So what happened, just to, what's the moral of the story for kids? Yeah, we gotta think about this. So number one, so it's very clever. You know, in the past I've told you some of the brilliant, witty stories of the Nabi Yehuda, how he dealt with situations with unusual, cleverness and insight. So certainly, Yehuda ben Seira's cleverness and the psychological insight is fantastic. That is, he realizes, here's this non-Jew presents himself to Yehuda ben Seira and is bragging how he's violating the din and eating Karban Pesach, despite the fact that he's not a Jew and not a Mohel. And there's no way for Yehuda ben Seira. Apparently, Yehuda ben Seira is not himself going to Yerushalayim. So how is he going to warn the Jews in Yerushalayim, don't let this non-Jew eat Karban Pesach? So the only way, the only vehicle to transmit a message is the Nachri himself. Right? Apparently, there's no way to identify him. He couldn't just send a letter. Well, there's someone who's an imposter. Well, who? So many Jews come for Karban Pesach. How do we know who it is? So the only way to effectively send the message is to somehow tag the Nachri himself. The Yehuda ben Seira, in the moment, Mamish bin Rega realizes the only way to solve this is to get the Nachri himself to deliver the message. But how is he going to do that? So he realizes he needs a way of sending the message that the Nachri will not understand, but the Jews in Yerushalayim will understand, and it has to be crafted in a way that the Nachri is motivated to repeat it. And without the Nachri suspecting that Yehuda ben Seira is setting him up for trouble. So that's why it's the brilliance in the moment, Yehuda ben Seira right away responds with the one leverage he has is he sees that the Nachri has a lot of ego wrapped up in this, and he's bragging about it. So that he realizes in the moment the only way to motivate the Nachri to say anything is to work off of his ego. Oh yeah? You think you're so cool? No, you're not. Prove it. Which is his response. Oh, they're feeding you shofar to shofar. No, they're not. The aliyah. And he realizes that the aliyah is something that the Jews will all know that that's keneged adin. And particularly if he says, Rehuma Maseir told me, that's going to be a red flag. Something's going on here. While the Nachri, Yehuda B'Seira was betting, would not understand the significance of it. He would just read it as, you know, superficial. That is indeed a choice cut of meat, and then they're holding out on me. Yehuda B'Seira was hoping and praying that, number one, he would have sufficiently motivated the Nachri to actually, A, remember, and B, convey this message, and that the Jews in his Chabura would not, A, go along with it, Rehuna B'Seira said, so I guess we have to give it to him, or B, just sort of ignore it and argue, but they would actually understand, and indeed they did, that there was something, there's a subtle message here. And that's what they said, and that's the significance of the last line. Incredible. Rehuna B'Seira managed to convey the information to Yerushalayim using the only methods at his means at his disposal, which were the Nachri himself. The psychological insight and the sort of the strategic thinking of Yehuda Mebeseira in the moment, that was incredible. So that's the story as it stands. But there are plenty of kashas here. I see there are already a couple of hands up. Yeah, Nasanel, and then Zach. Oh, yeah, good. How they know it's Rehuma B'Seira? So the Gemara says they asked him. When he must have kept insisting, I want the offer. They said, no. They keep saying, no, I want the aliyah. I'm entitled to the aliyah. They said, you can't give it to you. They said, no, you have to. They say it's against the halacha. The Gemara says, they asked him, well, who told you? Amrulay, man amarlach. Who told you this? You're being so insistent. And he says to them, achyar. Right? Who told you this? So Amalu, he says to them, Rehuma B'Seira. He says, Rehuma B'Seira told me. So now they're wondering, that Gadol Hadar, who is this guy Bechalal? He's talking to Gadol Hadar. The Gadol Hadar told him to violate the din. That's when they say, my height to come on. What's going on? Something's going on here. They realize something's fishy. There's a message here. Yeah, Zach. Yeah, why did Rehuda B'Seira just kill him? Good question. So Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Sugya, Miko Safulach. Rehuda B'Seira says, did they serve you the aliyah? Klo nos nuchah min ha'aliyah lechel? Did they give you aliyah to eat? Ein nos nuchah min ha'kacha shabo? Nah, he starts playing with his ego. They're pushing back. They're only giving you the shvach meat. V'nitzkavein lahatoso. And Rashi comments, Rehuma B'Seira, this was intentional. The goal was to trip up this Arami. L'chshiyelech, that when he goes again, if he goes again, yisham in ha'aliyah, that he'll request the aliyah. And then Rashi comments further, answering your question, that uviyad, Rehuma B'Seira lahoy lahargo. Rehuma B'Seira didn't have the capacity to execute him. But he knew the Sanhedrin, sounds like Sanhedrin and Yerushalayim, they could take care of business. So let's talk about what bothered us about this. Right? So that's one question. Why is Rehuma B'Seira not acting himself? What else bothers you about the sugya? Great. Great. Why wasn't he Yerushalayim himself? Who asked that question? DJ Wartelski asked that question. Who else asked that question? Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos Me'alya asks that question. Two lines into Tosfos. Rabbi Yehuda ben B'Seira shelo olo l'regel. How come he wasn't being olo l'regel? And then Mishnah Melech, the beginning of Kar Hilchos Karban Pesach, adds, and not only Ola Regel in general, Karban Pesach in particular. There are Jews who are not Chayav Aliyah L'Regel, who are chayiv in Karban Pesach, namely half of the Jewish population. Women are not obligated in Aliyah L'Regel, but they are obligated in Karban Pesach. So a woman is not mechuyeves to be Ola Regel, Sukkos, and Shavuos, but she is mechuyeves to come in advance of Pesach to eat Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim. So sort of a double whammy there. There are two reasons the Rebbe Meir himself should have been there. A, Aliyah L'Regel, because he was a male Jew, and B, Karban Pesach. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. And the earlier, the previous Tosfos, Va'ana, raises the question, another question. Tosfos Mei Aliyah is asking Akasha on Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira. How come he didn't come himself? Not only would that have been an easier solution, is come yourself and tell the Jews there, he should be coming anyways. Why is he staying at Tzivin? Karban Pesach, Aliyah L'Regel. So Tosfos Mei Aliyah is asking Kashas on Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira. Tosfos Va'ana asks a question against the Jews in Yerushalayim. Because once Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira alerts them that something's up, what do they do? What does the Gemara say? What do they do? They say, hey, what's going on? And they did what? Even before that. Evan, let's do a private chat. Private chat right now. A verb. What's the first verb in the Gemara? Once they realize, he says, oh, it's Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira told me. And they say, my high de kaman. So what's the first action that the Jews take? Take a look at the Gemara. It's a one-word verb. You can say, tell me in English or in Hebrew. Just private text me. Private text me so everyone can answer. Okay, the answers are coming in. Excellent, 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 excellent. Excellent, excellent. Not everyone responded yet? But a lot of guys did. Good. We have Hebrew, we have English. Excellent. Looking at the text, I see there's some puns also. Yes, chasing his tail. Yes, guys said they were checking, they were investigating, they were them, they were Badak. Exactly. They looked into him. They did a discovery process. Fantastic. And was there a reason they could have done it earlier? So Tosfos, I'll ask you to hold off on the jokes and chat until after Shir. Thank you very much. So Tosfos says, apparently they believed in him before. So Tosfos Va'ano wants to know, they could have looked into his background earlier. A guy shows up, apparently no one else knew him, and he says, I want to join you for Karban Pesach. If a fellow shows up and says, I'm Jewish, we've never met him before, we have no clue, could we just take someone as Jewish on their own say-so? Or do we have to look into it? So Tosfos Va'ana wants to know, how come the Jews believed him and didn't ask for ID? ID? And they asked for ID? Tosfos, I mean, Ali wants to know, Rehudim of Isera. Where is he? Why is he staying at Tzivin for Pesach? He should be in Yerushalayim. Aliyah L'Regel, Karban Pesach. And then, of course, the biggest question, the question that looms large, and no one has asked yet, is the question that the Minchas Chinuch drives home. What's the most difficult part of this whole Gemara? What's the most halachically shocking part of this Gemara? Yeah! Very good. Thank you, Ellie. What's with the capital punishment? What crime did he commit? What aver did he do? He ate Karban Pesach. Is that aver for a non-Jew? Is that chi of Misa? Maybe the Jews did wrong. Maybe they should have looked into it more. So those are major, major kashas. And we're gonna leave it here for today with, again, intriguing story. And three major kashas on this Gemara. Number one, how come the Jews believed it didn't check into his identity until Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira alerted them? And number two, when they did ultimately look into his identity and discover that he was an imposter, so that's definitely not nice. But why capital punishment? Question of Minchas Chinuch. And as I think it was Zach had pointed out before, it's not only a kasha on the Jews of Yerushalayim who did execute him. Rashi said the Yehuda ben Sira would have wanted to execute him also, but he didn't have the capacity to. So what's with the execution? Where's the capital punishment? Where's the capital crime? And finally, that kasha of Tosas Me'alia is why is Yehuda ben Sira himself not coming to Yerushalayim and taking care of business directly, as well as being Ol Regel and being Makriv Karban Pesach? Each of these is going to send us into interesting directions, and we're going to see again the classical Sfarim address these questions. We're going to spend a little bit of time tomorrow on the question of the identification, Tosas D'Masal Va'ana. We'll spend some time on the Minchas Chinuch's question of what's with this Chi of Misa. There are a number of approaches to that, and then Tosas Me'alia opens up a fascinating world. And when they raise this question of how come Yehuda ben Sira himself didn't come, they talk about Eretz Yisrael. And they talk about the fact that Netzivan was in Chutz Laaretz. We'll look at a map maybe next time and see Netzivan, where Netzivan is. It is indeed in Chutz Laaretz, as Tosfos tells us. We actually probably know where exactly. Nowadays it's on the Syrian-Turkish border. And so you can rename this the Turk and the Tana. But what does Eretz Yisrael have to do with anything else? That's going to lead us into exploration of some of the halachas of Eretz Yisrael. And finally, we'll cap up the sugya next week with, the classical Sfarim have classical approaches to all of these kashas. The Maratz Chayis has a totally fresh approach to out-of-the-box answer to how you read the sugya in a way that answers all three kashas. One, two, three, bang, everything falls into place. So we'll begin to spend time tomorrow on sort of the classical approaches to these kashas. Hope we have a chance to take a peek at the Maritz Chayis' surprise as well. Bose, have a great Bikiya Seder. I will actually see you very soon. Mitzvah, when we reconvene as a yeshiva for Tehillim, and Mitzvah, the schus of our Torah and our tefillah should lead to Yeshua Bekarav. Shkoyach Chevra. Be well.